A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days to be tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and when they were over, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone." Then he took him, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a single instant. The devil said to him, "I shall give to you all this power and glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I may give it to whomever I wish. All of this will be yours if you will worship me." Jesus said to him in reply, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil led Jesus to Jerusalem, made him stand on the parapet of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him in reply, "It also says, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every temptation, he departed from him for a time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's talk about the temptation of Jesus in the desert. Three temptations. Now you realize, of course, that these temptations are stylized. Now Jesus goes into the desert and he's tempted by the devil, and he lived a human life like the rest of us. And how often do we get tempted, all right? Not three times in 40 days, but 40 times in 3 days, right? Our temptations are pretty much constant, but these are stylized in such a way because they reflect for us all of the temptations that we face. All of our temptations really come down to these three basic categories. And we call these temptations the world, the flesh, and the devil, right? The three basic temptations. The first temptation is this temptation of turning stones into bread. Now, Jesus was hungry. He hasn't eaten in 40 days. He was very hungry. And Jesus, of course, had the ability to turn stones into bread. He kind of worked a similar miracle with the loaves and the fishes, right? He just takes bread and starts making it and multiplying and it goes everywhere. So he could have done that. In fact, he could have snapped his fingers and turned all the stones in the world into bread. Well, that would have certainly solved the world hunger problem. It might have created some construction material issues, but he could have done this thing. He could have made these stones bread. But the basic fault here is that would Jesus use his power and authority as Son of God for selfish purpose, for a selfish purpose, to satisfy his own needs and desires? Now, we face this problem all the time, right? Those of us who have some authority in the home or authority in business or in our workplace, would we use our authority for selfish purposes, or will we use our authority to care for those we are intended to care for, our families or our employees? That's the issue that Jesus is facing here. And the fancy word for that sin is called hedonism, right? Myself first. Take care of myself first. I want what I want, and I want it now, and I can get it, so I'm going to do it, right? That's called hedonism. We take care of our own selfish wants and desires first. And Jesus faced that temptation, and of course he responded to that temptation with the beautiful words from Scripture, "You shall not live by bread alone." There's more to life than just satisfying the desires and needs of our stomachs. There's more to life than taking care of myself. That I'm not here on this planet to take care of myself. God placed me here to care for others. to care for my spouse, to care for my children, to care for those, to care for my neighbors and those I work with. We're here to care for others, and in the act of caring for others, God cares for us. So it is really love that breaks the cycle of hedonism, not caring for myself, but caring for those God has given me the ability to care for. Well, the second temptation he faces is that the devil takes him up and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and says, I will give the whole world to you. Everything will be yours if you will just worship me. And Jesus doesn't fall for that temptation either, does he? The fancy word for that temptation is materialism. All the stuff that we can have. And the stuff's not necessarily bad, but of course, in my lifetime, I've had enough stuff that I've come to realize that if you're not careful, you don't own your stuff. Your stuff owns you. Have you ever noticed that? That we get the big fancy car, and it just means it's got higher repair bills. We get the big screen TV, and suddenly, you know, we're losing our evenings. We're losing time, our family time, because we're wrapped up in this TV. We don't own our stuff anymore. It starts to own us if we're not careful. So Jesus faces this temptation of materialism, and he has in his heart hope. He has a hope for a resurrection. Jesus knows that he can hope for life with God. So why does he want this world? Why does he want this world when he can have all the glories of heaven and the presence with God? He has a hope for living with God. So no, he doesn't want this world. And he sets this world aside. And then this third temptation, the devil takes him up to the parapet of the temple. Now, there was an ancient rabbinic legend that was present at the time of Jesus. And that legend was that the Messiah was going to come and he was going to stand upon the roof of the temple and declare himself as Messiah. And so this is what the devil's trying to tempt Jesus to do. He says, just go up to the roof of the temple and show him your stuff. Declare that I am the Son of God, I am the Messiah, and then leap off the roof of the temple, and the angels will gather around you and let you float down to earth, and in the midst of all this spectacle, everybody is going to want you to be their king, want you to be their Messiah, and you can rule, you'll have the whole world, you can do whatever you want with it, you can do good things with it. You know, a lot of time, one of the big temptations in life is to do good things for a bad reason. Have you ever noticed that? We get tempted to do good things for a bad reason. And what would have gone wrong with that? What would have been the matter if Jesus had just done that? If he had made this big display from the roof of the temple and declared himself to be Messiah and everybody would gather around him and let Jesus rule as King and Messiah. The problem with that is there would be no salvation. Because salvation does not come to us from Jesus being reigning as Messiah. Jesus, salvation comes to us from the cross. You see, it sounds like a good thing. Everybody's going to know who Jesus is and want to follow him. But salvation comes from the cross because Jesus had to obey his Father. Jesus lived a life of perfect obedience. He lived in his obedience to his Father is what broke the cycle of sin and death that had been created by Adam's disobedience. So Jesus could have made himself king, but only by disobeying his Father. And sin and death would not have been broken. So Jesus says, no, I'm not going to make a display of myself. I'm not going to have the world see me as Messiah and King. I'm going to obey my Father, and instead I'm going to undergo passion and death. But then, it was faith in his Father. It was faith that his embracing of obedience to his Father would end in resurrection, end in salvation, end in the redemption of all mankind. So he sets this temptation aside too. And these are the very temptations that we face. We face these temptations of wanting to satisfy myself, put myself number one, and take care of myself first. But God has given us the gift of love to reject that temptation. We face this temptation of storing up for ourselves lots and lots of material goods. And I don't think there has ever been a time or place in the history of mankind where we have had the availability of material goods as we have in this day. We can have just amazing stuff, and it can become almost a drug to hypnotize us into locking ourselves into this world and not into the next world. But God has given us hope in his eternal kingdom, to set aside the stuff of this world and to focus on God. And all of us face this temptation of wanting to be recognized, right? We want to be recognized for our good works. We want to be recognized for our brilliance. We want to be recognized for our hard work and the things that we have done. But God has given us faith to walk in humble obedience with God. And that faith carries us past these temptations. So just as the devil brought three temptations to Jesus, God has given us three cures in faith and hope and in love, what we call the theological virtues, that we live lives of faith, hope, and love, and not lives of hedonism and materialism and a desire for recognition. Egoism, it's called. But here's the rub. Here's the rub. You know, I don't get tempted by the devil very often. And you know why I don't? Because I'm doing such a good job of tempting myself. He doesn't need to bother with me. You know, I'm too busy wanting my big screen TV and wanting the big fancy car and wanting recognition for all my good works. I mean, I tempt myself so much, the devil doesn't need to bother with me. And that's true of most of us. You know, if within our hearts there is both a saint and a sinner, let's be honest. We spend more time coddling the sinner than the saint, don't we? We spend more time with our eyes and are focused on the things of this world and recognition and pride. Those are the things that draw us so much. And then, of course, we know who Satan is, don't you? No, Satan is just the a Hebrew word. You know what Satan means? The Hebrew word Satan means? The accuser. It means accuser. And so every time we find ourselves accusing other people of not being as good as we are, not being good enough for our church, we accuse people of not being, you know, clean enough or smart enough or come into our homes or to come into our church. We are literally being Satan in the world. We are being the accuser in the world. But gratefully, Lent is not about being perfect. Lent is about being honest. The great challenge in our own hearts is to be honest with ourselves about who we are. To be honest with ourselves about our shortcomings. To be honest with ourselves that, yes, there is a saint and a sinner living inside of both of us, and we kind of like the sinner better. And in that honesty, we have the wonderful opportunity to cry out to God for mercy. See, Lent is not about us being perfect. It's about us crying out for mercy. And if we're able to be honest with ourselves, to recognize our sinfulness, and to give ourselves, throw ourselves at the feet of God in a cry for mercy, then our lives can be changed and transformed. Not that many of us will ever make it to sainthood, but we can enjoy life in the freedom of God's grace, in the knowledge that His love is so great and so powerful that it washes away our inclinations to sin. And we can stand up and resist temptation. We can stand up and fight to live each day just a little closer to God. See, when Jesus said to His disciples, "Take up your cross daily and follow me." First, it's a daily exercise because we fight that battle between the saint and the sinner every single day. But secondly, the focus is direction, not perfection. Just that every day we try to follow Jesus a little bit more closely. Every day we try to take one more step on that journey following Jesus and allow God's mercy to change us. So as we enter into this Lent and we start our Lenten disciplines and we break our Lenten disciplines and we try to read the Bible, we promise ourselves we'll read the Bible every day and we might get it 2 or 3 days a week or whatever we do, be honest with God. Give yourself to the mercy of God and let God's love wash away all those tremendous shortcomings that we bring with us. But don't try to hide them, or don't try to think we're better than anyone else. But give ourselves to God and allow the love of Jesus to flow through us and make us clean.